thank you for downloading this podcast from Guymyr Baptist Church. You can find out more about our church at our website, guymyrbaptist.org.au. May God speak to you as you listen.
The Bible reading this morning is found in Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 12, and we're reading from the New Living Translation. People can never predict when hard times might come. Like fish in a net or birds in a trap, people are caught by sudden tragedy.
Well, good morning. Morning. How are you all this morning? That's good. That's good. My name is Brett. For those of you who don't know me, I am the student pastor here at Guymyr Baptist Church, and I would like to extend Mark's welcome of Happy New Year. Happy New Year. I can confidently say that this will be the best sermon that you will have heard so far this year. So strap yourselves in. It's going to be a good one, well, at least against itself. We kick off the new year, as we do traditionally here at Guymyr Baptist Church, looking at a series called Jesus and the Sydney Morning Herald. It has become a tradition of ours here at Guymyr to look at some contemporary issues at the very beginning of the year and look at some events that have occurred and to contemplate and reflect on them and place them within a Christian perspective and a Christian context and see how we might respond to them. But before we jump in and before we go any further, can we please pray together? I would really appreciate that. Let's do that. Heavenly Father, we just come and stand before you right now and acknowledge that you are the creator of everything. And Father, we just pray that in this moment right now, as we have a look at one particular contemporary topic, Lord, that you will soften our hearts, open our minds, and speak to us, Lord, this morning. Father, I pray that as I contemplate the work and preparation that has gone in so far, Lord, that it is you who needs to speak today. So, Father, I pray that these words will not be my own, but will be yours. Father, help the words to have clarity, and may they penetrate our hearts, Lord, and may we be changed. We pray this in your almighty name. Amen. Well, last year was my very first opportunity to experience this series, Jesus and the Sydney Morning Herald. I didn't preach in that series last year. I got to experience it from the congregation. I got to hear and watch and listen and take it all in. And I must admit that last year it whet my appetite for if I was given an opportunity to preach. I could think of a number of different topics that were relevant to last year that I thought, yes, I could so sink my teeth into them and I could just jump in and I could have a lot of fun. It would be really good. And so when this opportunity arose, I was really excited to have this opportunity right now. And so as I sat down and I began to read some articles and do some research and investigate, that excitement quickly turned to anxiety because I really struggled. I don't know how the other pastors are feeling. They might be thinking, oh, no, it's easy. I can think of a number of different topics we could preach on. But I really struggled. And the reason I struggled was because this was my reflection as I was reading the news, was that I had one of two options. The first one was to pick something that was really, really light, you know, like those fluffy dog and kitten stories and those news gap fillers that we hear. And I'm thinking, it's just not enough meat. I don't know if I'm... And then the other option was these really heavy, significant issues that we've faced this year. And I'm like, I've never preached at Guymyr in the morning before. Like, this is my first sermon, and I don't know if I'm confident, or I don't know if I can take on something that is so heavy and has so much weight. Am I going to be biting off more than I can chew? And so this is the conundrum that I felt, and I really struggled to find something. I just wanted something that was in the middle, that was really easy to choose. And so these are my two options. And so I can guess you can imagine, judging by today's Bible reading, which one I went with. All right. So as I perused a few articles and I had a look, these are the articles that I selected for us to have a look at this morning. CEO Richard Cousins and family cut down by seaplane crash before a year of new beginnings. If you have looked at the news at all in any capacity over the last week, you will know that there was a seaplane that crashed just north of Sydney in the last 7 to 10 days. A tragic event. A CEO who had just announced his retirement. He was a man who was so well respected that when he announced his retirement, the share price of that publicly listed company went down because people were now having a concern over the future because he was such a stable leader. The person who he was going to marry was a well-respected lady. They were engaged. They were going to be married this year. She was such a well-respected lady in her community. The second one is scene of utter devastation. Three killed in a two-car crash on New South Wales South Coast. Again, such a tragic situation, and we know that there's a lady who is still fighting for life right now, knowing that her sister and her parents are deceased. Adelaide man killed by lightning strike at Kings Canyon in the Northern Territory. This was a 35-year-old man who went hiking with his family and was struck by lightning and died. This was a man who had an aspiring and increasing radio DJ career. His career was on the up. And the final one, no words can describe this loss. Champion Victorian hang glider killed in a New Year's Eve crash. This Victorian lady was a champion. In fact, when she died, she crashed while training to defend her title. She was due to compete and defend her title, and she died while training. There are two things that stand out to me amongst all of this, and that is that we are mortal beings and that life is uncertain and unpredictable. And I know what you're thinking. Oh, great. Who gave the student pastor the microphone? Like, why are we talking about this? He's gone dark and morbid and sadistic on us. Quick, someone grab the microphone off him. And I probably wouldn't blame you. Tragic events, when tragic events occur, and we continuously hear about them time and time again in our media, there are a number of different responses that we can all have, aren't there? The first one that comes to mind is reflecting on what I've just said, and that is that we want to ignore them. We don't really want to talk about it. Like, we block our ears, close our eyes, put our heads in the sand. It's like, I know that life is on this earth, it has a limited time frame. Like, I know that. So we don't have to talk about it. Just don't talk to me about death. I don't want to know it. A second response is that we can just absorb all of these news articles and just take them on and just feel the weight and the burden. And if we're not careful, we can feel overwhelmed and crippled and depressed by so much negativity that comes our way. The third response is that when we read these articles, that they can actually have an influence on our own philosophical outlook on life, can't they? We can say, well, life's short, so just work hard. Or we can say, life is short, so play hard. Or we can mix them together and say, well, life's short, so work hard and play hard and just cram as much as you can into life because life is finite. There's a time limit. So just fit as much as you possibly can in before it all ends. And our responses can be varied and they can be significant, and it doesn't matter whether or not we have faith, we can experience these responses and reactions and more. Now, I just want to pause just for 1 second here and insert a caveat onto all of this, because we are looking at these headlines and these topics from an arm's length. We read these from an arm's length. I don't know these people personally. I'm not their friend. I'm not their family. And so I just want to just pause for a moment, because when we are involved and when it becomes a little bit more personal, then there's a whole new element, and that is grief and mourning. And there's a whole process. And whilst we won't be exploring that element today, I really felt that it was significant to acknowledge it and not just skim over the top and pretend that it's not real and that it's not profound. This morning, we are focusing on how we, as followers of Jesus, comprehend, approach, and respond to the perpetual reminder in the media of our own mortality and the unpredictability of life. So let's first jump to our own mortality. As I've mentioned before, and as we all know, life is finite. We know life on this earth will end. There is not a person alive today who was alive 150 years ago. There is not a person alive today who can say that they remember what it was like when the first fleet arrived on this nation, because all of those people have now passed on. Life is finite. We know this. The Bible tells us this. It highlights the obvious. In James chapter 4, verse 14, James puts it this way: "While you don't even know what will happen tomorrow, what is your life? You are but a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes," which seems really positive. But the good news for us is that death is not the end. Death is not the end. We are eternal beings. We are eternal beings that belong to an eternal kingdom, the kingdom of heaven. John chapter 17, verses 1 to 3 says, and this is Jesus praying. Jesus says, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. For you granted him authority over all the people, that he might give eternal life to all those you have given him. Now this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you sent." As followers of Jesus, this enables us and gives us a perspective that extends beyond the grave, because we are eternal beings made by God to be with God and to worship him. And so as we spend our time here on earth, we can see through death into eternity. We can live this life now with eternity in focus. We can see through death. And so we know that our eternal destiny is safe, secure, and certain. So how then do we correlate this, knowing that our future is safe and secure and certain, how do we correlate this with the fact that life now, life itself, is unpredictable and uncertain? Because we know that life is unpredictable. It's in the news every single day. And the Bible affirms this and tells us this. It points out the obvious. Our Bible reading today, Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 12. People can never predict when hard times might come. Like fish in a net or birds in a trap, people are caught by sudden tragedy. Life is unpredictable and uncertain. Yet as followers of Jesus, we believe and we know that despite this, God is in control. God is in control. Isaiah chapter 45, verses 5 to 7. I am the Lord and there is no other. Apart from me, there is no God. I will strengthen you, though you have not acknowledged me, so that from the rising of the sun to the place of its setting, people may know that there is none besides me. I am the Lord, and there is no other. I form the light, and I create darkness. I bring prosperity and create disaster. I, the Lord, do all of these things. God is always in control. The Creator is above the created. The created can never overpower the Creator. The Creator has all authority and power over the created. And just as God has the authority over creation, His ways are so much higher than our ways. His understanding transcends our own understanding. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Isaiah 55, 8 to 9. We know this, and I don't want to pretend here that trying to understand this and comprehend it is easy, because it can be very difficult, can't it? But it makes sense that the Creator is going to have authority over the created, and that as far and as expansive as the universe is, and we just fathom to comprehend it, God's understanding of life and purpose transcends our own understanding of the events and the situations that we find ourselves in. In the midst of an unpredictable life with unpredictable circumstances, we know that through it all, God is in control and His understanding transcends our own understanding. Well, this doesn't mean that life as we live it has no meaning or no purpose. It doesn't mean that we just currently sit in an earthly waiting room waiting for the inevitable. Well, we'll just work, we'll play, we'll do some stuff, and our time will come, and then we'll enter into heaven, we'll enter into our eternal glory. No. Our time here on earth is a gift. It's a gift from God, and He provides us with purpose and a plan and meaning. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 10. For it is by grace that you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. This is a gift from God. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, to do wonderful works, to do amazing things, which God has prepared in advance for us to do. When we are constantly reminded by the media of our own mortality and the unpredictability and uncertainties of life, as followers of Jesus, it reminds us that God is calling us into action. with the very small and precious time that we have here on this earth, we have purpose and meaning. And so as we stand here today at the beginning of a new year, 2018, what lays before us this year? But as we stand on the precipice of a brand new year, it's a time when many of us start planning and setting targets and goals and aspirations, and we have all these wonderful things that we want to achieve. It reminds us and gives us an opportunity to look through death and have a clarity of our eternal destiny, so that the plans, the aspirations, the targets, our dreams for this year can be anchored in God's will and not our own will. How this might look for you might be that this year you come to God and you say, God, this year, more than ever before, I want you to be the center of my marriage. I'm inviting you into that space. Oh God, like never before, I want you to be the bedrock of my family. I want to stand on your solid ground. God, this year, like never before, I want to know you. Lead me into your love and your knowledge. Lord, this year, more than ever before, I want to let go of my own selfishness, Lord. I want to let go of things that are going to fade away when this earth perishes, Lord. And I want to start holding on to and sowing into the eternal things that you have in store for us, Lord. Lord, more than ever before this year, I want to come to you with open hands and open arms and say, God, use me. Use me. Help me to have opportunities to share your love to this world. There are so many people who need your love. Lord, like never before, Father, I just pray that this will be a place where brokenhearted and desolate and people who are aching for something will find this place and they'll come here and they will discover your love, Lord. More than ever before, I want to see your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven, Lord. Father, may we see the eternal kingdom begin to flourish and grow here on earth right now. And then as we think about each and every day, and as we step out in faith, and as we take courage, and we step out each and every single day, seeking God and loving others, and we know that while life may be unpredictable and uncertain, and even though we ourselves may be faced with tragic events, that through it all, God is in control. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I just thank you so much for being a loving God who has made us, who loves us despite all of our failures, despite all of our shortcomings, Lord, that you are a God who is so gracious and loving. And Father, right now, I just want to spend a moment praying for the families and the loved ones, the people who, for the headlines that are on the screen, Lord, they're not just headlines. This is their life. And Father, we just pray that your Holy Spirit will be at work and amongst those families, Lord, because we know that in all things your will be done. And so, Father, we just pray for peace and for comfort for those family and friends. And Father, as we ourselves stand at the beginning of a new year and we look forward, Father, may this year be a year like never before, Lord, where we just lean into you, where we just seek your love, where we just say, God, I want you to use me. I want you to be at work in my life. I want you to change me. And Father, I want to be a part. I want to participate in your plan as you build your kingdom, Lord. And that despite all things, whatever uncertainties we face, Lord, we will just hold on to that truth that you are in control and that your will be done no matter what. And Father, may this be our prayer for this year. In Jesus' name, amen.